For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris High. I'm lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And right now we are in the midst of this conversation called experience. And I know it's really sad, but that will be the last time that you get to watch a watermelon explode here at Hoboken Grace. And for many of you, as we began this series, you thought, what in the world does that have to do with experience? But as we began, we talked about this powerful truth, right? That Jesus Christ did not come and give his life just so that you could know about him, but so that you could know him, so that you could actually experience him. And so many of the things that we crave, so many of the things that we long for, that we're pursuing, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, these things begin to explode in your life. The Bible talks about these things as fruit in your life that begin to explode, not because of information, but because of experience. And as you're walking with him, as you're coming to know him more and more and more, and he's more and more and more part of your life. So we've been asking this question, how then do you experience? And not just how do you become mediocre at experience, but how do you become great at experiencing? And we've been looking at the lives of three different individuals in the scripture who had phenomenal experiences of God and learning from their experience in order to bring that into our journey, into our everyday lives. And there are three things that we've seen up to this point that were consistent in their lives that made it possible for them to have this kind of relationship with God. The first one is the fact that it just seems over and over and over again that they are willing to take those steps of faith that the people around them, that so many of us are not willing to take. And without even hesitation, they're jumping into those steps of faith, taking those steps time after time after time after time. And their perspective on these steps of faith is so drastically different. For them, it wasn't something to be scared of, wasn't something to be timid in. It was something to look forward to, something to grab hold of, because this is my chance to experience. But not only did they take steps of faith, but then at the same time, it seems that there's nothing in their life that was out of bounds when it came to sacrifice, and that they looked at this experience of God as so much greater than anything else in their life that they're constantly asking, okay, what else can I leverage to be able to experience more? What else can I use in my life to be able to sacrifice for him so I can experience more? Just this constant sacrificial love that they're pouring out on God. But not only is it faith and sacrifice, but then as we talked about last week, these individuals didn't just experience God in the valley, but they danced with God on the mountaintops. And when God moved, man, they celebrated with God. And they experienced this side of God that very few of us have. This side of God that is celebrating, that is full of joy and happiness. And they lived with him in that moment. We've seen these unbelievable, powerful things in their lives that we can begin to bring into our lives if we want to experience. And as I began this journey, I told you that this is a deeply personal journey for me. It's a journey that God has had me on for quite some time, and to be honest with you, continues to have me on. And I remember at the beginning of this, one of the things that really drove me in my pursuit of my experience of him is the fact that I had a dream. And I'm not really a dreams and visions guy, but I'm not saying that this necessarily came from God, but I do know that one night as I was working through this question of experience that I fell asleep and I had a dream. And in my dream, there were two things happening side by side. It was like, it was the exact same situation, but the scenes were playing out very differently. And I saw myself before God, and I saw myself on one side before God, on the other side before God, and I knew that it was the first time that I'd stood before him. And as only is possible in a dream, I experienced both of them at the very same time. You know how that is? There's those things that can happen in dreams that could never ever happen in real life, like for some of you guys that you get a really beautiful girlfriend. Never gonna happen in real life, but in dreams, okay, it's still possible. And so there are these two scenes playing out side by side. And I knew that this was the first moment that I was standing before God. And as I watched on the one side, I looked up at God. And I was overwhelmed by who he was and overwhelmed by his glory and his power. But at the same time, there was this very strange feeling inside of me. It was this feeling that I was surprised. I was shocked because the person that I was looking at, I knew about this person, but I didn't know him. And so it was this feeling of meeting a stranger, which was contrasted heavily by what was happening on the other side as I was watching the scene play out at the very same moment. And in the other scene, I find myself, very same situation, looking up at the face of Jesus Christ for the very first time. And make no mistake about it, I was overwhelmed and awed and frightened to a degree. But rather than the feeling of looking at the face of a stranger, in this scene, I looked up and I saw the face of a friend. And I'd never seen his face before, but there was this very real sense inside of me that I know you. You and me, we've been walking together for a long time. And you're more glorious and more powerful than I could have possibly imagined, but I know you. And oftentimes in my life, I've thought about what it was like for John when he arrived in heaven and was able to look at Jesus again. And Jesus was far greater than what he would possibly have imagined. If you read about in the book of Revelation, he's able to see him in a vision, and he's greater than what he'd ever imagined. But that was his friend. And I woke up, and I remember waking up, and I was just sweating. I mean, just sweating. And I woke up and I realized that in a very real way in my life, I was at a crossroads and I was making a decision of what I was going to pursue. And I could pursue knowing about him, but if I just pursued knowing about him, I would eventually stand before him and I would be able to recite all of his characteristics. I would be able to tell you all sorts of information, but I knew I'd look at him and it would just be a stranger. And in that moment, I knew that there was this unbelievable invitation that God was inviting me into of saying, Chris, you don't have to be a stranger. When you get here, we don't have to get to know one another then. We can know one another now. And as we walk through this conversation, I want to be clear about something. The things that we're talking about, number one, are not the only way to experience God. And one of the difficult conversations that we had as we came into this conversation was to decide, okay, which ones are we going to talk about? Because you can experience God in service. You can experience God in community. There are all these amazing ways that you can experience God. And the things that we're talking about are not the only ways. And we decided on these because we saw that they were the ones that really were dominant in the lives of these three individuals that we're learning from. And as we come to this point where we're wrapping this up, my hope and my prayer for you in your life is that this would not just be some information that you take in, and that this would not be the end of how you're learning to experience, but that this would be the beginning, that this would be the springboard, that you would come out of this driven, that if you accomplish nothing else in life, if you accomplish nothing else on this planet, that when you stand before him, you would stand before a friend and not a stranger. And Jesus Christ did not give his life simply so that you could be forgiven. He gave his life so that you could actually become a friend of God. A friend of God. And my prayer is that this series and the conversation that we've been having would just drive you toward that end. I want more than anything else to know you. It is by far, the most valuable thing you will ever do with your life. And so we've been looking at these ways that you can experience. But as we come to the end today, I think that we would be remiss if we didn't talk about one more. And it has to do with this book. I mean, what do you do with this book? What do you do with the scriptures as it pertains to experience? Because when you begin to read through this book, you find that for many of those that we find inside this book, the scriptures was one of the ways that they experienced God more than any other. And you see this in all sorts of people's lives. But today, I want to specifically take you back to the story of David again, one of these three individuals, because I think in David's life you see it most clearly that David experienced God in an unbelievable way when it came specifically to the Scriptures. And for many of us, I think that we value the Scriptures, but I think that David valued the Scriptures for maybe a little bit different reason than we do. Because I think for many of us, we value the Scriptures because we look at it as a source of information. And so we come to it and we're trying to learn about something, or we're trying to learn a theory, or we're trying to learn what's right or what's wrong. But I think when David comes to the Scriptures, he comes to it with a little different perspective. And that's what I want to share with us today. Psalm 119:25 is where we're going to begin reading this morning. And in this psalm, David is writing specifically about the Scriptures. And as he does, I think he allows us to be able to see at the very heart of, the very core of who he is, how his heart and how he interacts with this book. Starting in verse 25, it says this. It says, "I lie in the dust. Revive me by your word. I told you my plans and you answered. Now teach me your decrees. Help me understand the meanings of your commandments, and I will meditate on your wonderful deeds. I weep with sorrow. Encourage me by your word. Keep me from lying to myself. Give me the privilege of knowing your instructions. I have chosen to be faithful. I have determined to live by your regulations. I cling to your laws. Lord, don't let me be put to shame. I will pursue your commands, for you expand my understanding. You teach me your decrees, O Lord. I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will obey your instructions. I will put them into practice with all of my heart. Make me walk along the path of your commands, for it is there my happiness is found. Give me an eagerness for your laws rather than a love for money. Turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life through your word. Reassure me of your promise made to those who fear you. Help me abandon my shameful ways, for your regulations are good. I long to obey your commandments. Renew my life with your goodness." You see, for David, as he came to the Scriptures and as he came to God's word, it was more than just, okay, how can I learn about something? It was this amazing moment of meeting with someone. And there's this active living element to him as interacting with God's word. And so you see, I mean, listen to what he says here. He says, "I lie in the dust. Revive me by your word." There's something happening. There's an experience that's taking place as he comes to God's word, whereby God is beginning to just literally fill him from the inside out, to bring him to life. And I don't know about you, but as I interact with God's word, and then I look at the way that David interacts with God's word, I see that there's a shift that needs to take place in my life. And I think it's probably true for a lot of us. And occasionally I'll hear people talking about God's word, and they'll use words to describe it, like an instruction manual for life or God's handbook on how to be able to live. And every single time that I hear that, I cringe a little bit on the inside, to be honest with you, because when I look at what David has to say about God's word and how David interacts with God's word, I realize that it looks nothing like a handbook for life. For David, it was this unbelievable experience of God as he was diving into the words that he had written to him. And I cringe because I know in my own life I have this tendency to look at the Bible as an instruction manual for life. And every single time that I begin to look at it that way, I begin to lose my experience of God in it. Because this book was not given to you simply as an instruction on how to live. This book, more than anything else, was given to you for you to be able to experience the one who gave you life. And more than anything else, it's a letter of love. That a God who cannot be seen is giving to you so that you can see him. So that you can see how he how he's loved in the past and understand how he's loving you now, how he's led in the past and understand how he's leading you now, how he's revived in the past and brought life to death in the past so that you can know how he's doing that in you right now. It's so much more than just an instruction book for life. And so David comes to this, and he comes to it more than anything else to experience the one he loves and the one who has loved him. And as we look at this journey of experience, I believe that one of the most important tools in your life that you have to experience God is this book. But I believe if that's going to happen in your life, then there's a shift that needs to take place where we begin to come to it, not just for what we can learn, but for actually spending time with Him. To just soak Him in. The New Testament talks about the Scriptures as the sword of the Spirit, this tool that the Spirit uses in your life to be able to cut to the very heart of who we are, to be able to help us to be able to experience victory in the midst of all the battles in which we're engaged. It's not this lifeless thing, but there's this living aspect to how God uses the Scriptures in your life and in my life so that we could not just know about Him, but so that we could know Him. And the truth is that today we have the opportunity to be able to talk all about that, but I'm not all that interested in just sharing with you this truth. Because in my experience, and I've talked to people about this a lot, in my experience, it makes very little difference what you know about God's Word and how you may think about how it will impact your life. And I've taught this to people time and time again, but it seems to have very little impact on how they begin to actually put it into place in their life and the role that God's Word plays in their life. And so several years ago, I decided that I was no longer going to just teach about this, but that every time that I taught about this, that I was going to give people the opportunity to actually experience this. And so today, I don't want you to just know that this is how you can experience God, but today I want to give you the chance to be able to experience Him in it, to be able to demonstrate this for you. And so I want today to be able to walk you through what this looks like in my life on a daily basis. Because there are certain things that I've had to bring into this experience of God and my interaction with the Scriptures in order to change my mindset as I approach it. Because my natural mindset every time I pick up the Bible is that I'm going to try to gain some information or knowledge. And oftentimes, especially when I was younger, I would walk away from my time reading through the Scriptures frustrated because I didn't gain some new information or some knowledge. But as God began to walk me down this path of experience, He began to challenge me to change the way that I looked at that time. Where it was no longer, okay, did I learn something new? Did I learn some new instruction? Is there some new application that I can put into place? Not that those things aren't important, but that as I went into it, it was no longer focused on those things as much as it was simply focused on, God, I want to spend some time with You. And so I began to change the way that time that I spent with Him looked in order to help me shift my mindset. As a matter of fact, our services are very much designed based off of my personal time with God. And today what I want to do is I want to walk you through that, and I think you'll see the similarities between that and the way that we do our services every single week. In a few moments, I'm going to invite the band back up on stage, and as they come on stage, they're going to lead us through a song. And the reason that we're going to begin this way today, as I demonstrate this to you and give you the opportunity to be able to experience that, is because every single day as I start my time with God, I begin with music. I have to begin with music because if I go straight into reading, then I'm completely in information mode. And so I always begin with music to be able to give me time to be able to readjust my heart and to reteach myself that this is about experience. And sometimes I go into the music time and I'm like, oh, this is a waste of time. I just need to get to where I'm reading. And it just reminds me of the fact that there's a problem in my heart in the way that I'm looking at this. Because this is not about gaining information. This is simply, God, I want to spend time with You. And so I begin with music. The band's going to come out and lead us through that song. And then after that, I'm going to come back up for just a second, and I'm going to give you a chance to be able to spend some time in prayer. And after I finish with that music time, I go into a time of prayer, and I just simply express my heart to God. And you see this in our services in silence. And I just express my heart to God. God, this is what's going on with me. I want to make sure that I'm not holding anything back, that I'm not coming in fake, that we're actually having a real conversation. That I'm not just checking something off a list. And then I begin to take in His Word. And what we're going to do in that time is we're going to bring the house lights up a little bit so that you guys can see. Because I know right now some of you are thinking, I'm never going to be able to read in this lighting. And we're going to bring the house lights up for a little bit for you to be able to see and give you a chance to be able, we're just going to give you 5 minutes to be able to just soak in His Word. And I know for some of you, as you sit here today, you're thinking, where would I even begin? If you received one of the Bibles that we were handing out as you walked in, we'll give you a page number. You can begin in the book of John, just begin reading through the story of Jesus Christ. I know others of you are here and someone invited you to come along with them and you're thinking, there's no way, I'm not reading the Bible. I don't believe the Bible. I just want to challenge you a little bit on that just for a moment and just ask you one simple question. What book in your life do you read because you believe it's true? There's no book in our lives that we read because, you know what, I believe everything in this book is true, and so therefore I'm going to read it. That's not the way that we work, but for some reason, when it comes to the Bible, that's the way that we look at it, and because I don't believe it to be absolutely true, I'm not going to read any of it. And I want to invite you today to just kind of let that go. You don't have to believe it to read it, but I think that you owe it to yourself to at least know what it says. And if nothing else, just to be able to read through the story of Jesus Christ. And I want to invite you into this. And maybe for you, it's not necessarily as much experience as it is just you're just learning the story of Jesus Christ. And maybe in the midst of it, you'll find Him. And we're just going to give you some time to just soak that in. But as we do that, I also want to challenge just for a moment the way that you read. Because I would be willing to guess that many people who are here today have at some point in their life decided that they were going to try to read through the Scriptures. And as you do that, if you come from the mindset that I grew up with, then basically what I would do every day is I would go in and I would read through a section of the Scriptures, maybe one chapter or a couple chapters, and I would try every day to be able to understand that as best as I possibly could. And I remember we had a professor in college that actually challenged that in a huge way. I remember he was a teacher at Cornell, and then sometimes he would help out at our school. And I remember he walked into one of our Bible study classes, and he saw the way that we were studying God's Word, and we were breaking it down line by line and word for word, and okay, what does this really mean, and dissecting everything. And I remember he started laughing, and he said, you will never understand the Bible if you study it that way. And of course, we were incredibly offended, right? And I mean, who is this guy, except for like one of the leading scholars of Egyptian history, to be honest with you, and one of the five people in the world who could actually walk into a pyramid and read Egyptian hieroglyphs off the wall. I mean, this guy's unbelievably brilliant. And he said, this is written in a totally different way than the way that you guys study it. He said, and no one from that culture would read the way that you read. And so he began to introduce this new method of reading through the Scriptures to us. And what he would do, and I remember I took a class with him where we studied the book of John. And what we had to do is every single day for an entire semester, we had to read the entire book of John. He never had us break it down line by line. He never had us break it down word for word. He never had us do anything like that. Every single day for an entire semester, we had to read the whole book of John. Now, as a college student, you realize that if you were going to accomplish that, you were going to have to read very, very fast. But that's what he wanted us to do. By the time we got to the end of that semester, we understood the book of John backwards and forwards. We understood every one of those little words. But not because we had broken it down, but because we had just soaked it in over and over and over and over again. And for some of you, the reason that you struggle reading through God's Word is because you're trying to understand all the little pieces, when the truth is it's written for you to just soak it in. And the more that you soak it in, the more that you're going to actually begin to understand those little pieces. And so today, as you start to read, don't feel like you have to understand everything or figure everything out. Just take it in. And more than anything else, understand this. This is not about you learning something new. This is about you listening to God. God, I just want to listen to you and hear your word and experience you in it. And I may learn nothing new, but that doesn't take away from my time with you. And maybe in my time you teach me something. That's amazing, but I just want to be with you. So we're just going to spend some time reading, and then after that, I'm going to give you the chance to be able to worship. And every single day I end in worship, just celebrating who God is and the time that I get to spend with Him. And some days that time of worship is filled with crying because I'm overwhelmed by Him. And some day that time of worship is filled with just celebration, because I see how He's moving and how He's working. And I'm overwhelmed that He allows me to actually be with Him. But we don't just want to talk about it. We want to experience it. And so I'm going to invite the band to come back out. And maybe for some of you, as you walked in, I will say this too. For some of you, as you walked in, they were trying to give you a Bible, and you're like, no, I don't want anything to do with that. And they said, it's really a big part of today, and you didn't take them seriously and said, I don't want anything to do with that. And right now you're thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to have nothing to do for 5 minutes. Okay? If during this next song that's you, just feel free to slip out the back. We've got more Bibles in the back. You can grab one and come back in and sit down and just be part of this experience with us.
Down on my knees again, surrendering all, surrendering all. Find me here, Lord, as you draw me near, desperate for you, desperate for you. I surrender. Drench my soul as mercy and grace unfolds, a hunger and thirst, a hunger and thirst. With arms stretched wide, I know you hear my cry. Speak to me now, speak to me now. I surrender, I surrender. I want to know you more, I want to know you more. I surrender, surrender. I want to know you more, I want to know just breathe with it. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm.
Father, as we come to this moment with you, Father, I pray that our experience of you, that for every person here, that their experience of you today would not simply be a mediocre one, but that it would be overpowering, overwhelming. I pray that as we spend this time in your word, that you would revive us. I pray that our experience of you through your word, that it would not only fill us today, but that it would create in us a hunger for you, a passion for you that would not be satisfied by any of the meaningless things in this world, but that it would just drive us to you over and over and over again and awaken us to this beautiful reality that in your word, day after day, we can come to know you. And Father, more than anything else, that's what we want. As we move forward, we're just going to give you a few moments. And there's going to be some music that just kind of plays in the background for you to just bow your heads where you are and just come before God and just open your hearts and to be able to bring before Him this passion. God, I want to know you. So, Father, we pray. As we continue, you just take your Bible, and if you know where you'd like to begin reading, you could begin reading anywhere. If you aren't sure where to begin, you can begin in the book of John. If you received one of the full Bibles that we were giving out, it's on page 809. If you received one of the New Testaments that we were giving out, it's on page 82. And you can just begin reading there. Just soak in the story of Jesus. But again, we're just going to have some music playing and just a chance for you to be able to experience Him today through His Word. No, I know that for many of you, you're going to want to keep reading. And to be honest, if you want to keep reading, you can keep reading. For just a few moments, we're going to bring the lights back down. And I hope that as you just spent that time, our goal today is to just to give you the chance to be able to experience. Because what I've found is that when you begin to experience God, your appetite for Him begins to grow. And the more that you experience Him, the more that you want Him. And so today, I wanted you to be able to just experience Him in His Word. So that as you go out from here today and you begin this journey of experience, because believe me, this is not the end. It has to be the beginning if it's going to be meaningful in your life. That you would make the decision to begin to make this a part of your weekly, daily walk. And inside your program, there's a connection card. I'd love to be able to pray for you in this, encourage you in this. And there's three next steps on there. The first one is just that you're going to begin this process, that you're just going to try it maybe even once this next week. The next one is that for some of you, maybe you've done this before, you've just kind of gotten away from it. So you're going to begin to bring this into your week, maybe three times a week. But again, not just I'm going to sit down and read God's Word three times a week, but that you're going to begin to really work to experience Him in it, to fight that mindset that this is just about gaining information, that you're going to spend that time with Him. And I hope that maybe today these tools that I use in my life will be able to help you in yours. And maybe it will help you when you begin to look at what your time with Him could look like. And how you can make sure that it really is you spending time with the one who loves you more than anyone else. And so the band, if you guys would come back up. And guys, we can bring the house lights back down. As we go out today, we're just going to go out celebrating Him. Celebrating the grace that He's given us that's brought us back into this relationship. And just as I do every day, just to celebrate the fact that today we got the opportunity to experience Him. And that's something that none of us deserve. Father, thank you. Thank you for making it possible in any way, shape, or form for us to be with you. And Father, I pray that as we continue this journey together, again, that our appetite for you would become insatiable. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.